welcome to TMO's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Thursday, August 24th in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm your host today, Brian Chaffin, filling in for Jeff Gamet, and with me is the esteemed John Martellaro.
Esteemed. Wow. Happy to be here.
Excellent. That's great, even. And also joining us is the glorious, the lovely and talented, the smoking Jeff Butts.
What up?
We are up. We are up. But we have a sponsor here, too. That would be Eero. Got a second generation product that they're promoting, and we like that very much. We're going to be talking about them a little bit later, but in the meanwhile, speaking of second generation products, which is my trademark terrible segue from the Apple Context Machine, John Martellaro, you wrote about some of the information that's been leaking out of Apple's Project Titan, which is their autonomous vehicle, electric vehicle project that's been in the works for a few years.
Here's what happened. There's two pieces to this. First of all, yesterday there was a great article at the New York Times about Apple's Titan car project, as you said, and the sources. There were multiple sources who did not want to be revealed, who spilled the beans to the New York Times about the status of the project and some of the problems that they had. Now, listeners might know that I worked for many, many years for Lockheed Martin Astronautics, a big company that does big projects. Now, the projects I was on were modest-sized projects, but you can't work for Lockheed Martin. Before that, Martin Marietta, without being exposed to this, you know, it's the culture. And down the street was the Atlas launch vehicle system. And you get to be very close to the strategy, the tactics, the operations of monster projects worth hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, launch vehicles that launch a $1 billion satellite. And if the whole thing blows up, you know, $2 or $3 billion is exploded in the sky.
And this was back when $2 or $3 billion was a lot of money.
Right. And so as I ran through this article at the New York Times, I started having a sinking heart and I went, oh no, they didn't do that. And then I read on some more and go, oh no, classic mistake. And then, oh no, they really did. They really squabbled about which language they were going to use and they were going to do the whole AI thing in Swift. And they squabbled about that and whether it should be C++, and they didn't have the kind of experienced automotive management.
And John Gruber noted that he didn't think that the language stuff was accurate, that Apple actually went with C, just for the record.
Well, that was probably an even bigger mistake. C is not the right language for artificial intelligence either. It seemed like Apple was in this waterfall approach where you do everything. We're going to go beyond. We're going to have spherical steering wheels, and we're going to have special kinds of doors, and we're going to go beyond everybody. We're not going to have really glass windows. We're going to have virtual reality so that you can have enhanced view out the car with multiple cameras instead of, you know, a mere glass to look through and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, they got so grandiose and they got so ahead of themselves, they forgot to do one thing, and that is learn how to build a car. In 2017. And so I had to comment on this because the article is a splendid and awesome article about how things go wrong when you have a very big, large scale, aggressive project without the right kind of leadership and the vision and the right experience. So.
Well, and this is why Bob Mansfield ended up being brought into to head the project. It was to clean it up, and it was to get it back on track and to even figure out if they even had a project. What the New York Times is saying is that as of now, while a physical car hasn't necessarily been written out of the project, their focus is almost entirely on the autonomous system itself. Is this right?
Yeah, but even scaled down below that, because as you know, I've written at Mac Observer about the difficulties of writing an autonomous car system, an AI system, and selling it to other companies. All of the big companies in my opinion, are well on their way. Mercedes, BMW, Ford, GM, all the major players are going to rule their own. They're going to take responsibility. They're going to home grow it and not buy a mysterious package full of liability issues from some third party. So the question is, if Apple doesn't build their own car and instantiate their glorious autonomous AI system in their own car, then they're stuck with trying to sell it, which we ran through, you know, last summer, I think. And then I was skeptical of that because I didn't think they would have very many buyers. And so the New York Times article talks about how they have dropped down to another level called PALE, the Palo Alto Infinite Loop thing, where they're going to be have a transport system, sort of a taxi service from Palo Alto to the Apple corporate centers.
For employees.
And roll their own for employees, right? So my perception, and the New York Times had some pretty evidence of pretty good sourcing on this, that it's been kind of a bust because I think they couldn't find any substantial buyers for their system. Well, Apple has this attitude, you know, we're the best, we're the cool guys, we build the phones, drop everything and buy it all from us. And I don't think that really worked.
I have always questioned whether or not that was ever even in the cards. Apple doesn't do software for other people to make stuff with. I believe that if an Apple car ever sees the light of the day right now, from right now, that it's going to be in an Uber competitor. It's going to, you know, be it focused just on in ferrying taxis around, be it something based in China with Didi, be it some new company that they launch here in the States or in Europe. I do not think Apple is going to sell its software to another company. It doesn't do that well, and I think that the benefit that Apple has when it does eventually bring something like this to market, if it does, is it has the entire iOS ecosystem where it can have these cars play within the system. It can, the cars can be summoned based on information that only Apple has from within your devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Apple does still have advantages that it can bring to market for this project, but I don't think it'll ever be a car that you can sell, and I think it's going to be something that is part of some kind of giant rideshare thing.
Well, there's two issues that are outstanding. One is they're kind of behind the curve now. The window's starting to close, and breaking into the market when the window starts to close is tough.
Yeah, we've heard this for every product, man. Every time Apple does something new, it's well, you know, the market's already established, blah blah blah. I mean, that's always the case.
But the interesting thing about the New York Times article was the disconnect between Apple's expertise with small electronics devices versus Apple's corporate expertise with car building. They're up against companies who've been around for 100 years,
well, so
who've been in the consumer marketplace for a long time and have current factories cranking out cars.
So is Google. Well, I mean, but Google is up against those same people. Tesla was up against those same people. It can be done. The same thing, John.
Point of my article. We all thought it could be. We thought glorious Apple with billions in the bank and all of this expertise and all of these glorious engineers and advanced technology. Sure, it'd be a piece of cake for them to build a car. The bottom line from the New York Times article was not so fast. It's a lot harder than Apple thought it would be.
Well, that way may well be the case, but we have heard the argument that Apple can't enter a new market because it's too established. We've heard that over and over again. And it is entirely possible. It may even be likely at this point that Apple's car project is never going to go anywhere. That is possible. But I think that Apple is still working on it, and if they're still working on it, there's a chance that it's going to come out. But again, it's going to be, you know, that thing that Tim Cook said not too long ago. There's the automobile industry is at three major intersections right now. There's electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles, and ride sharing. And I mean that's just classic Cook code saying, so we're going to do autonomous, electric, ride sharing.
Well, I appeal to the recent experience with the disaster of Planet of the Apps and Apple's amateurish approach to original content. And then they realized they had to bring in some heavyweights. I forget the names of the fellows, but they were from major studios
who were brought in. Three major executives from the TV industry that we know of.
Right. So you've got to give those guys the authority to execute their vision and succeed the way they succeeded in the previous job. And if you make them subservient to Eddie Q and don't give them the authority and the power to do what they did before, they're not going to succeed very well. I know Apple hired an experienced fellow. What was his name? Zdesky, to head the car project, and then he left. Is that right?
Yeah, he was the person who left, but he wasn't experienced in the automobile industry.
Oh, okay. Well, right? I was waiting for Apple to hire some heavyweight, you know, somebody who was the equivalent of Lee Iacocca in his day. Some CEO from a major automotive company to come in and build the division, and you know,
oh, I lied. I saw lied. He was an engineer.
General Motors.
He was an engineer at Ford. So yes, okay. he had a little bit of car experience, but he was a long-time Apple employee.
I was looking for two things. I was looking for Apple to hire somebody like that and build an organization of experienced automotive engineers.
We need to get the record straight here. He was an engineer at Ford from 96 to 99 for 3 years, despite the fact that that's actually a four-year gap. And then he's been an Apple since 1999. So he was an Apple veteran that was moved over to that project. And but he did have some car experience. But he left, and Bob Mansfield was brought in to head the project.
So my take is that Apple didn't have the right organizational structure, the right authority, the right process in place for a very, very large project. And, you know, we never heard about any startup for factories, purchase of robots.
Not at that point, but they do own, lots and lots of property in the Bay Area. And that's not counting anything that they could do over in Asia. So I don't think that's necessarily a tell. All right, listen, we're actually shooting along out of time here. So
good discussion.
Let me tell you about Eero. They have a second generation of their product. This is a mesh network. Dave Hamilton's written a lot about mesh networks. If you're unfamiliar with them, I'll include a link to the show notes. In the show notes, that is. But Eero has a second generation product, and they've added a third 5 gigahertz radio. It makes it tri-band, and it's twice as fast as the first generation Eero that came out. And that, frankly, lets customers do more simultaneously in every room of their home. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs are, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can connect to low-power devices such as, you know, locks, doorbells, sensors, all the Internet of Things stuff, which means that you have increased speed and range because it's a tri-band radio now. You've got it sits flat on the surface. It plugs in with a regular power adapter, connects over Ethernet or wirelessly in any combination, and the additional Thread radio makes it good for the low-power devices. You ought to, if you're interested in a mesh network for your home, you ought to check out the second generation Eero products. And we appreciate their sponsorship. How's that?
And remember that if you place your order and use the promo code TDO, you get free overnight shipping.
Indeed you do. And you can do that at Eero.com. And thank you very much, Jeff Butts, for reminding me of that. And let's see here. We also had a second topic. What was it, gentlemen? Top men here.
Oh, can the 10th anniversary phone gain ground on Samsung?
Yeah, that's right. This was kind of sparked a little bit by Canaccord, T. Michael Walkley. He's the analyst for Canaccord Genuity. He estimates that Apple claims 64% of the smartphone profits in the Siren area. 64% of the smartphone hardware profits in the March quarter. Now, that's a lot, but it is a lot down from the 84 to 90% that Apple has long been claiming in terms of profits. Like, you know, Apple only has like 11% of the market, and they have the lion's share of the profits. He said that the Samsung Galaxy 8 was the big reason why Apple's share of the profits dropped. but he called it a distortion, and he thinks that Apple will come back and get it. And then that reminded me that I've been seeing articles already talking about how the iPhone 8 is or is not going to be able to, you know, take mindshare away from the Samsung Galaxy 8.
Good question.
And we see this every year, though, right? We get
asked this every year. And at what point?
We're told. Asked or told. Go ahead. Asked or told. A lot of people tell us that Apple's not going to be able to do anything with their new iPhone.
At what point do we stop trying to ring death knells for the iPhone?
Well, that's a parlor game for much of the world, especially the Apple haters out there.
You know,
they want Apple to finally fail, and you know it's like for the Samsung Galaxy 8 and the supposed iPhone 8, which is supposed to come out with the along with the iPhone 7S and 7S Plus. You know, it's like, you know, this time, no, really, really, this time Apple's not going to be able to compete with Samsung. And it's just utter nonsense.
It is, because every time a new phone comes out, you get the early adopters who jump right on the newest, latest, and greatest iPhone. And then you also get the people who waited a generation. They held on to their phone for a generation, and then they upgraded.
Or two generations. You know, a lot of people
do keep their generations
for quite a while. Most people are not nuts like us who tend to get the new one every year.
Right. You know, most people aren't, you know, I don't know for sure how much I'm going to have to pay off on my lease, but I'm budgeting for that because when the iPhone 8 comes out, I have to have it.
Yeah, move to the program that lets you get the new one every year, so you're essentially leasing your phone.
Well, I'm on the program that lets me get a new one every year.
Okay.
But it's not going to be quite a year when the 8 comes
out. Yeah, it's always 11 months. But keep in mind, too, that the 8 is supposed to ship later. So by the time it actually ships.
That's to be determined. That's still a rumor.
It's still a rumor.
Yeah, it's still a rumor.
It's got enough life to it, though, John. It's going to ship later in the quarter, I think, than the 7S and 7S Plus.
I've been suspecting that Apple was going to come through and we're all going to go, oh, yeah, these are just rumors. Apple delivers every year on their phones. Why should this year be any different?
Well, we don't have big – my feeling on rumors is that you've got a certain body of evidence that when it gains enough weight, you can pay attention to it. And I think in this particular case, the 8 being delayed, 8 coming later – has that weight.
I think it all came from some early reports of some engineering issues that were ironed out. And those were, they had to percolate into the pipeline. And by the time they became known, the problems had been solved. But
it's also manufacturing constraints. Only Samsung is being tasked with making the OLED displays, and they're not going to be able to crank them out in the volume needed to meet the full demand of the iPhone 8.
I'm not convinced of that. Every year on September 12th, Apple announces a phone. Every year they say, you know, a week later we're open for orders.
I think it'll be available a week or two after the announcement, but I think it'll be in short supply.
Yeah, I don't think it's even going to ship for. I think Apple will ship the 7S and 7S Plus first, and then later we'll ship the 8, and it's going to be in short supply too.
Yeah, that's always true. Yeah, get your order in early.
No, I just said I just contradicted you, John. I said that the 8 will come later.
Ship later, but you can order it. It might be delayed. You might be able to order it and then get it in a week or two.
No,
instead of 3 days.
It's going to be October or November. That's my prediction, brother. It's my prediction.
All right. I'll be here.
Listen, we're running out of time, but you had a quick list of all of the reasons why you think that it will be a compelling device.
Well, I've been reading up on the rumors, and you know, there's a lot of new stuff in this phone, and every year Apple seems to pull a rabbit out of the hat with some new features that we love. The question is it going to be enough to gain ground on Samsung, or is this going to be another just new phone that everybody grabs
and the
competition continues? So we got an OLED display, probably inductive charging, a new way of doing the Touch ID, perhaps on the display instead of a button, so you have a thinner bezel all around. Probably dual camera lenses on the 8 because it's the high-end phone. It's going to cost a lot, and it can't have any features that will be inferior to the 7S Plus. Facial recognition, a very, very fast graphics chip for VR capability. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yep, I think it will be, in fact, cool. And I plan, if, assuming it's announced, I plan on waiting for it and not getting a 7 to replace, a 7S to replace my 7.
Same here.
How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, same situation.
All right, rock on. We are over time, and I very much appreciate the both of you for being here. John?
My pleasure. Thank
Jeff?
You.
Always a blast.
Fantastic, and we will see you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to Eero for being our sponsor.